Peter B. Collins, News and Comment. It's Wednesday, August 21st, 2013. I think it's a sad day for the United States of America, and I am personally saddened by the 35-year prison sentence handed down to Private Bradley Manning at Fort Meade, Maryland, earlier today. We have an in-depth interview with Kevin Gostola, the reporter who has been there for virtually all of the proceedings, live blogging for FireDogLake.com. It's available for subscribers right now at PeterBCollins.com. And in this excerpt from our conversation with Gostola, he reads from a petition that Bradley Manning has written and will be submitted to the White House, asking for a pardon from President Obama. And in this statement, Bradley Manning provides a context for the actions that he took. Take a listen.
In our zeal to kill the enemy, we internally debated the definition of torture. We held individuals at Guantanamo for years without due process. We inexplicably turned a blind eye to torture and executions by the Iraqi government. And we stomached countless other acts in the names of our war on terror. Patriotism is often the cry extolled when morally questionable acts are advocated by those in power. When these cries of patriotism drown our any logically based intentions, it's usually an American soldier that is ordered to carry out some ill-conceived mission. Our nation has had similar dark moments for the virtues of democracy. The Trail of Tears, the Dred Scott decision, McCarthyism, the Japanese-American internment camps, to name a few. I am confident that many of our actions since 9/11 will one day be viewed in a similar light. As the late Howard Zinn once said, quote, "There is not a flag large enough to cover the shame of killing innocent people," end quote. I understand that my actions violated the law, and I regret if my actions hurt anyone or harm the United States. It was never my intention to hurt anyone. I only wanted to help people. When I chose to disclose classified information, I did so out of a love for my country and a sense of duty to others. If you deny my request for a pardon, this statement is part of his filing that he's going to give to President Barack Obama, asking for a pardon. If you deny my request for a pardon, I will serve my time knowing that sometime you have to pay a heavy price to live in a free society. I will gladly pay that price if it means we could have a country that is truly conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all women and men are created equal.
That's Kevin Gostola, reading a statement from Bradley Manning. It's a petition that is being submitted to the White House requesting a pardon for his whistleblowing. And in our conversation with Gostola, we cover a lot of the important issues related to this political show trial and the creation of a new political prisoner in this country. Today, I also caught up with a man who has been in contact with and profiled one of our other political prisoners, Mumia Abu-Jamal. Filmmaker Steve Vittoria joined me for a brief update and to relay comments that Mumia has about the Manning prosecution. Bradley Manning gets 35 years. Mumia is still behind bars for life. Stephen Vittoria is the director and filmmaker of Long Distance Revolutionary, A Journey with Mumia Abu-Jamal, and he returns to our program today. We did a lengthy interview when your film was first released, and there's good news that it's going to be on the big screen at the Roxy in San Francisco this week. Steve, welcome back.
Peter, it's great to be back. Thank you.
First, the details on the screening at the Roxy. Tell our listeners when they can see this powerful film.
We're very excited to be in my favorite city in the United States, San Francisco, California. We open this Friday, August 23rd, at the Roxy Theater. which is on 3117 16th Street,
mm-hmm.
In San Francisco, and we're there for a week. We hope to see as many people as we can on the first weekend. I will be there with my partner, Noel Hanrahan from Prism Radio. We'll be doing a Q&A session after the 6:30 show on Friday evening. So mm-hmm. if you come out, we'd love to see everybody there and talk about the film.
And it's a powerful film, and I want people to understand that what you've done is taken a look at the full life story of Mumia Abu-Jamal. And while it does touch on the issues of his framing and conviction and incarceration, it's much more about his early life, his work as a radio journalist in Philadelphia, and the work that he's been doing from behind bars as a contributor to Democracy Now! So it is a remarkable piece with contributions from Alice Walker, Cornel West, Angela Davis, Hurricane Carter shows up, Dick Gregory, many other great Americans, and Amy Goodman is in there as well. And
right.
I wanted to find out on this day that we've gotten the sad news that Bradley Manning has been sentenced to 35 years in military prison for his principled leaking of information that he thought Americans needed to know about. What have Mumia's views been about the court-martial of Bradley Manning and the bigger picture of these leaks that have come from him and more recently Ed Snowden?
Well, Peter, I can tell you, I just visited with Mumia last week at SEI Mahoney in eastern Pennsylvania. We had a very long conversation about this, among other things, and the two pieces of Mumia's thoughts that stick out in my mind, one is exactly what you said, the courageous work of people like Bradley Manning, Edward Snowden, Julian Assange, allowing the American citizens as well as world citizens to see the nefarious and corrupt behavior of the American empire. And these should be pieces that are regularly released by the American media, or the so-called media, like yourself, Peter. You're one of the good guys. But most folks out there, it's really infotainment, and that rubs Mumia incredibly hard because he's doing hard-hitting journalism from inside a dark, dank hole in a Pennsylvania prison. And so he thinks it just shows that the American media is completely AWOL when it comes to this, and he thinks that these guys are truly doing workmanlike performances as journalists. Secondly, I can tell you he knew that Manning was going to, you know, pretty much get a harsh sentence thrown at him. I realize mm-hmm. it wasn't the maximum, but it's still fairly horrific. Mumia wondered to me aloud, you know, that Manning is going to spend 35 years in prison for, you know, courageously revealing what any democracy would want to be revealed, and yet the war criminals that have sat in the White House from Barack Obama on back are walking free. The Wall Street swine are walking free. Healthcare executives that are ripping off people's lives are walking free. So he sees it once again as law is politics by other means. And is you know, truly disheartened by it. Not surprised, just disheartened that nothing ever changes.
Stephen Vittoria is the director and filmmaker responsible for a powerful film, and I urge you to see it. And Stephen, where else can people find it? We have listeners in Montana, in Florida, in Maine, and in far-flung parts of the world, including Kona, Hawaii. Are there ways that people can find the film online?
They sure can. The film is out on DVD right now, so if you go to Amazon.com, I believe it's on sale right now. And there is also a 30-minute short film that deals with Mumia's case called Manufacturing Guilt, because my feature does not deal with Mumia's case, mm-hmm. as Peter referred to before. You can also get it on iTunes under Mumia Long Distance Revolutionary. A couple of weeks it'll be on Netflix. And it will be on television very, very shortly on the Stars Network, which we're very excited about.
Great. Again, the film is Long Distance Revolutionary, A Journey with Mumia Abu-Jamal. We've been talking with filmmaker Stephen Vittoria. Thanks, Steve.
As always, thank you, Peter.
Long Distance Revolutionary is an excellent film, and I hope you'll find a way to screen it at some point, because I think it's a very powerful story. And Mumia Abu-Jamal is somebody who I have a great deal of respect for. Here at the Peter B. Collins Show, we appreciate the support that comes from our listeners via subscriptions, and it's not too late for you to take out a subscription. In fact, today, for a limited time, I have one additional item to offer for individuals who take out a new annual subscription. You get the bag of Kona coffee, you get the Sibel Edmonds Classified Woman book, and I have just half a dozen free Bradley Manning stickers. These are little round stickers. I've got one on my laptop computer. And it says, Free Bradley Manning. And if you support those aspirations and you support this program, well, I can make one available to you. Just follow the links under my picture where it says sign up at peterbcollins.com. The other way you can support us is to by doing business at godaddy.com. They have the best deals on domain name registration and web hosting that I've seen. For just $1.99 a month, they give you web hosting with unlimited storage and bandwidth, and you'll get your domain name free. To get a special deal that also supports this podcast, follow the GoDaddy link in the show file for this program at peterbcollins.com. Well, Glenn Greenwald is not going to go silent, and I'm very pleased by that. He is speaking out again and attacking the governments of the United States and the United Kingdom for trying to send him a message by holding his male partner, David Miranda, for 9 hours at Heathrow Airport this past Sunday. And as Greenwald writes, he quotes a statement from Reuters' Mark Hosenball. One U.S. security official told Reuters that one of the main purposes of the British government's detention and questioning of Miranda was to send a message to recipients of Snowden's materials, including The Guardian, that the British government was serious about trying to shut down the leaks. Now, this is an explanation that shows just how obnoxious and bullying the tactic of holding Miranda truly is. And they're not embarrassed by saying, yeah, we just wanted to brush him back. Those are my words, not theirs. And it's also important to note that Greenwald has been inappropriately misquoted as saying, well, he was going to take vengeance by exposing wrongdoing by the British government. What he actually said in Portuguese at the Rio airport is that he is going to continue to report without being intimidated. And Greenwald writes, here's the most important point. The U.S. and U.K. governments go around the world threatening people all the time. It's their modus operandi. They imprison whistleblowers. They try to criminalize journalism. They threaten The Guardian with prior restraint and then force the paper to physically smash their hard drives in a basement. They detained my partner under a terrorism law, repeatedly threatened to arrest him, and forced him to give them his passwords to all sorts of invasive personal information, behavior that even one of the authors of that terrorism law says is illegal, which the Committee for the Protection of Journalists said yesterday is just the latest example in a disturbing record of official harassment of The Guardian over its coverage of the Snowden leaks, and which Human Rights Watch says was intended to intimidate Greenwald and other journalists who report on surveillance abuses. So, Greenwald is undeterred. But the people he refers to as state-loyal journalists, people like Jeffrey Toobin, who has his own sordid history of trading in classified information and now goes on CNN to denounce Snowden and Greenwald and Miranda. And Kevin Gostola has pushed back. We refer to that in our in-depth interview today. But be sure to go to firedoglake.com and read the post that Gostola wrote about Jeffrey Toobin and exposed his own sordid past. You've heard a lot of people lecture Snowden and Manning, and Sibel Edmonds and Bill Binney and Russ Tice, the NSA whistleblowers. Why didn't you guys just go through ordinary channels? And Dana Milbank from the establishment Washington Post has been following for 5 years now the ugly scandal that originated at Arlington National Cemetery. Mishandled remains, financial mismanagement. That means bodies have been put in the wrong grave, markers of the wrong individual on a grave. And the woman who exposed all this is Gina Gray. And Milbank writes, if only Snowden has made his concerns known through the proper internal channels, everything would have turned out well. The notion sounds reasonable, as do the memos Obama signed supposedly protecting whistleblowers. But, he writes, it's a load of nonsense. And that's for the Washington Post. He probably would have said it's a load of horseshit if he weren't writing for a family newspaper. But it's really an important piece coming from an establishment reporter at a government-approved publication. And it belies what Obama and others have said, that whistleblowers just need to go through the channels. Well, the channels are there to shut them down, to shut them up, and to permit the government to retaliate against them by firing them, withdrawing security clearances and blocking them from working, blackballing them. And this has gone on for years on a widespread basis. And the government continues to get away with it. And while I'm deeply and personally saddened by the 35-year sentence handed out to Bradley Manning, my respect for him has only grown. And I believe that we'll look back in 10 or 20 years and see that he really started something important, a trend to restore constitutional rule here in the United States. More disclosures about NSA overreach and lies. The latest, an 86-page opinion from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, has been released. And it shows that for 3 years, the NSA diverted large volumes of international data passing through fiber optic cables in the United States into a storage or repository where the material could be held for processing and selection of foreign communications rather than domestic ones. But it showed that on an annual basis, they collected at least 56,000 wholly domestic communications. Now, 56,000, that's not accidental. That's not, as they've said, because somebody typed in the wrong area code. This is, again, a partial disclosure of something much bigger. And we will see more, there's no doubt about it. Now, the Wall Street Journal has gotten into the act, and they are exposing the program called Blarney and saying that the NSA programs capture approximately 75% of American internet traffic. Now, remember, when Snowden released PRISM, and it's only we only have seen, what, 7 out of some 45 slides of that PowerPoint presentation. But we were told, oh, no, don't worry, it's all only outside the United States. U.S. persons aren't involved. Well, that's bullshit. And according to the journal, among other capabilities, the systems can reach roughly 75% of all U.S. internet traffic, including a wide array of communications by foreigners and Americans. The article says perhaps the most disturbing news is that the NSA worked in conjunction with the FBI to monitor all email and text messages for the six-month period surrounding the Mitt Romney Winter Olympics in 2002 in Salt Lake City. So the disclosures keep coming. And we know that this program, Blarney, was actually installed or started to operate before September 11th. They had tapped into the international cables that land near San Luis Obispo, California, and at a point in New Jersey. And it has just been metastasizing since then. Some quick updates for you. Egypt has arrested the spiritual leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, Mohammed Badi, or Badi, and all the other top leaders are already locked up. This occurs as they're about to release the former brutal dictator, Hosni Mubarak. And so the military coup is complete in Egypt, and it rolls back the clock and basically just wipes the Arab Spring from recent history. The U.S. still stands flat-footed, unwilling to risk angering Israel by cutting off the aid to Egypt and creating disequilibrium, if that's actually possible, in the Middle East. We've now formally declassified documents detailing the CIA's role in the brutal overthrow of Iran's Prime Minister Mossadegh way back in 1953. President Obama acknowledged this without details in 2009 when he tried to restart relations with Iran. But it's now official the coup was carried out under CIA direction as an act of U.S. foreign policy. The CIA has admitted to orchestrating the August 1953 coup that toppled Iran's prime minister after he tried to nationalize his country's oil wealth from Britain. And again, this is not a surprise. We've known about it for years, but it's finally being officially confirmed. And as you know, secret testimony was used in both the trial phase and the sentencing phase of the Bradley Manning court-martial. They're at it again at Gitmo today. An army judge ordered Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his co-defendants removed from the courtroom and held the first secret hearing of the 9/11 tribunal on a government motion that is so secret the public can't know what it is. And as we've seen, the stuff they call secret at Guantanamo often is trivial. Jason Leopold revealed in early August three sets of redactions from the same memo about the commandant's policies of invasive strip searches of prisoners at Guantanamo. And what it revealed is that they had redacted things that have no value, that aren't secrets. And so we can have no confidence that the need for secrecy in this case is real. And we can suspect that they are talking about evidence that was derived from torture or other illegal means, and it's more about covering up things that are embarrassing as opposed to things that should remain secret. And what's really offensive is that the defendants themselves are excluded from hearing the evidence that is presented against them. And they're all locked down. They don't have a way to leak it to WikiLeaks or to a media outlet or a journalist or any other way. And so we fail the fundamental test of true justice in yet another political show trial. And finally, today I've been very concerned over recent weeks, and I apologize for not having room to cover this, but Fukushima is spinning further and further out of control. And the March 2011 earthquake, tsunami, and meltdown that damaged multiple reactors there is now producing huge leaks of water that is tainted by radiation. Tuesday, the Tokyo Electric Power Company, TEPCO, finally admitted that contaminated water with dangerously high levels of radiation is leaking from a storage tank. And we know that they've been minimizing all of the negative reports from Fukushima since the day of the events. So we can only assume that things are even worse than what TEPCO and the Japanese government are admitting to us. That's my news and comment for today. Thanks for listening all the way to the very end here. You're invited to share this free podcast far and wide, and I hope you will. As always, you can send your comments to Peter at peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.